The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Service should be in your bulletin. There's like three or four hymns that we're going to do. It's an abbreviated divine service. I saw some services that Pastor Stoltz used to use, and so I went by that. So, please rise and begin singing our first hymn 58, the first four verses. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence.
mercy has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Continue with the Gift printed in your bulletin. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger,
nor chasten me in your hot displeasure.
Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak.
O Lord, hear me, for my bones are troubled.
My soul also is greatly troubled.
But you, O Lord, come on.
Return, O Lord, deliver me.
O save me for your mercy's sake.
For in death there is no remembrance of you.
In the grave, who will give you thanks?
I am weary with my groaning.
All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears.
My eye wastes away because of grief.
It grows old because of all my enemies.
Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.
For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping.
The Lord has heard my supplication.
The Lord will receive my prayer.
Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled.
Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly.
Please be seated as we finish hymn 58.
Thank you.
chapter of Ezekiel. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Therefore you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns from his sins and does what is lawful and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has stolen, and walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of the people say, the way of the Lord is not fair, but it is their way which is not fair. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die because of it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, he shall live because of it. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, I will judge every one of you according to his own ways. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Christians in Corinth, the 7th chapter. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I perceived that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a little while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrow in a godly manner. What diligence is produced in you? What clearing of yourselves? What indignation? What fear? What vehement desire? What zeal? What vindication? In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is found in the 3rd chapter of St. Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise as we confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. Rise as you are able. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we sing hymn 327. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So, dear saints in Christ, Advent is a penitential season where you look for the coming of the Lord, where you prepare yourselves by repenting, just as John the Baptist urged in his day, calling, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Now you hear the call to repentance often, but you should really don't take enough time to examine it and to see what the Bible has to say about it. Well, this is what we will be doing during Advent this year. The focus of the midweek services won't be on the approach of Christmas. They won't be on the approach of the end of the world. Instead, you will examine this thing called repentance in light of what the Bible says about it, so that you may be able to wholeheartedly answer the call to repentance, which forms the message of Advent. The approach of this Advent, you will hear John the Baptist called for repentance as a representative of the prophets. Next week, you will hear Jesus preach repentance. And finally, in the third Advent midweek service, you will hear the proclamation of the Christian church through and after the times of the apostles, calling you to repentance. Now, the call to repent is not as common as you might expect. The word repent in all of its forms only appear 46 times in the Old Testament. And most of those times are describing someone as repenting, not telling them to repent. So a good example might be the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. He was one of the prophets who strongly urged the people of God to repent. But he did not always use the word repent. One of Ezekiel's familiar cries was not repent, but turn back. The example is, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? You see, repentance as such is not simple sorrow over having done wrong. The word is used that way many times in our world. But when God uses it in his holy word, he means something more. After all, a man or a woman might be sorry for having done something simply because they were caught. They might be sorry for doing wrong because of the evil consequences that follow on the heel of the deed. They might even be sorry because when all is said and done, it wasn't as good as it looked like it would be. It wasn't as satisfying as one might hope. It wasn't as profitable as it appeared it might be, or once it was finished. The thrill is gone. You see, repentance changes things. And this is the reason for the Advent focus on repentance. If we're looking forward to God's answer of forgiveness, Scripture speaks of two kinds of sorrow over sins in the second letter to the Christians in Corinth, where Paul compares the sorrow that is according to the will of God, which produces repentance, to the sorrow of the world, which does not. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. So simply being sorry for doing wrong is insufficient. It may even be harmful. On the one hand, it may cleanse one's conscience without producing any change in the person. And on the other hand, it might cause despair and lock the person in unbelief and hopelessness, which will bring such a one to eternal death. Godly sorrow is the sorrow which says that I have sinned against God. I have done evil against God, and I am ashamed. It says I will not do this same thing again. Repentance means turning away from one's sin. The word repent means to have a change of mind. You change your mind about the evil and the sin you have done, and you set your minds on doing what is right. This afternoon, you're looking at the reality of repentance, which John refers to in his proclamation to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The reality is that genuine, honest repentance changes things. False repentance is all sound and show. True, genuine repentance also includes the sincere intention of reformation, the desire to do whatever is right. Now, you have all witnessed the kind of repentance and sorrow over something that only gets you lip service, I'm sorry. You've all heard that someone apologized for something they did with glee and intended to continue to do it. I'm sorry that it isn't working out. The young woman says to her as she serves her husband divorce papers. I'm sorry I have to do this. The young man says as he strikes another fist in a fight. I'm really sorry it came to this, says the businessman as he repossesses the family's vehicle. And then children say, I'm sorry, when they get caught doing something wrong. But as soon as the parents turn their back, they do it again. Now, if the young wife were genuinely sorry about the divorce, she could not carry it forward. It might ultimately occur, but she could not be the one who filed, the one that made the big decision, the one who asked the other to leave. Not if she was truly sorry first. And if she repented later, she would purposefully try to put those things back together. No one can administer a beating to another unless they wanted to hit them. You cannot punch another person if you are unwilling to do so. The repossession would not have happened unless the man who had the authority to do it. In this example, in each of these, you may find the circumstances of their actions regrettable. But if they were truly sorry, they would not continue, regardless of what the cost was to them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, true, genuine repentance changes things by changing the actions of the person. Repentance which turns one away from sinful behavior. If there is no change outwardly, the sorrow is not repentance, at least not the godly sorrow Paul mentioned in his second letter to the Christians in Corinth. It may be simple regret that the circumstances demand this or that behavior in the mind of the one who is doing the deed. True, genuine repentance doesn't merely change things, but it changes things for the right reason. John was witness to this fact that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were behaving as though they were repentant. They had come to hear him, and even possibly to be baptized for the remission of sins. But that wasn't enough. What the words of the Baptist reveal is the motivation of their hearts. You see, they had come to John out of fear. They apparently understood the results of their behavior in terms of the divine justice. John said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Those Pharisees and Sadducees had come for fear of what would one day happen to them. Not because they were repentant. They were not sorry that they had done the evil they had done. No, they were afraid of the consequences. They were sorry that they had gotten caught, so to speak. And they just wanted fire insurance. They wanted to cleanse their consciences and ensure that they would not have to suffer for what they had did. But they were not repentant for what they had done. But you cannot read the heart of another person. So you would not be able to tell. But the text tells you. And the Holy Spirit told John. These men had come to John to deceitfully acquire forgiveness. They were not sorry for their actions. Their only interest was escaping the coming response of God to their sins. And that is not true repentance. Repentance changes things. It changes things inside and out. You cannot really repent only because of the consequences of your sins. If you are not sorry for the evil, you are not repentant. Such sorrow and even change in behavior may be outwardly effective and socially useful, but it has no spiritual value whatsoever. It has no value because it doesn't really deal with the sin. You see, sin is the flight from all that is right and good. Unchecked and unrepented, sin has the power to drag even believers like you away from life and blessings in God. just as it had done to those whom John preached so harshly. And Advent is the season of repentance. It is time to get honest with yourself and examine your lives and see what your sins are in your whole life and what they are. And realize that they are real, that they are willful, and that they are deadly. They place someone else in the role of God in your life. Pleasure, greed, pride, fear, ambition, yourself, or whatever else it may be. So look at yourself. Sin is there, even when you pretend it is not. And when you want to feel so righteous and better than the notorious open sinners around you. The truly wicked also deceive themselves by excusing their sins, by saying that they are at least not like the great hypocrites they see crowding into the churches. Of course, then they only come to those rare days when the church is actually crowded. Excuse me. Repentance means turning away from your sins. You don't hide them. You don't continue in them. You leave them behind. You change your mind and heart and do what is right instead. You need to do that with your sins, and you need to do it daily. True, genuine repentance sees sin as real and evil, as it is deadly and destructive. True, genuine repentance regrets the deed, the desire for the deed, and the sin of the deed, which separates the sinner from God. If one still appreciates or profits from the sin or its effects, then one is not repenting of their sin, only for the trouble that sin can later cause them. You see, Jesus died for all sins. He didn't die just because of the consequences of sins for you, but because of the evil nature of sin itself. He had to become one of us, and he had to die to lift the consequences of your sins off of you. But he died because of sin, because sin is sin. Not simply because death is depressing, or that is eternal damnation, and it is painful and unpleasant. Remember, sin is rejection of God. Sin is turning away from life. Sin is ignoring the will of God, thwarting the plan of God, spitting in the face of God. Sin is denying Him who created you and rejecting His love. It doesn't have to feel like that to be like that. God saw your plight. Your plight is sin. He saw your powerlessness to do anything about it. And while you were still sinners and enemies of God, He did what needed to be done to rescue you from sin. God demonstrated His love for you by lifting the consequences of your sin off of you and giving you life in Jesus. He poured out His Holy Spirit upon you so that you might love Him and turn away from your sin, because sin stands between you and God, not simply because it has unpleasant side effects. He wants to make you lovers of God. He doesn't want to make you merely those who cower in fear of His wrath. But He wants you to change you into those who delight in the confidence of His blessings. That is why repentance changes things. It isn't running away from danger, but being genuinely sorry for your sin, for the denial of God and rejection of His love, and for His benevolent will for you. Repentance is not only sorry, but earnestly determined to put sin away and live in the light of the will of God, the one who loves you, loves them so deeply, and the one they also love. John 3:16 tells you that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It is to that love that the heart of the penitent is responding with sorrow and the earnest intention to change. Because you also wrestle with the flesh, You do not always fully succeed in your intention not to sin again, but you do live in and from that intention to amend your lives out of love for God. Dear saints in Christ, repentance does change things. It changes the outward conduct and speech by changing the inner man and the motivation for behaving this way and that. The Advent call to repentance is not the call to merely regretting that such behavior was necessary or that the unpleasantness occurred. It is a call to pore over the nature of your sins and the depth of your sins so that you cry out to God for forgiveness, help, and strength that you might not sin against Him anymore. Advent prepares you to joyfully receive your Savior and the forgiveness He won for you and the blessings He still brings to you and the power He gives to you to bring forth the full fruit of repentance. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him to be the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, the angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, for praying the prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Continue by praying the litany found in your bulletin. O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thou that sittest at the right hand of the Father,
receive our prayer.
Thou who wast silent before thine accusers, open our lips to speak thy praise.
Help us to bear witness to thee, our Lord and Redeemer.
Thou who didst humble thyself,
teach us true humility.
Thou who didst willingly bear thy cross,
help us to accept whatever cross may be placed upon us.
Thou who didst pray, Abba, Father,
teach us to pray, our Father who art in heaven.
Thou who didst say, I am the Son of God,
hallowed be thy name.
Thou that didst say, I am a king,
thy kingdom come.
Thou who didst pray, not my will be, but thy will be done.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Thou who didst hunger and thirst,
give us this day our daily bread.
Thou who didst ask forgiveness for thine enemies,
forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Thou who wast tempted in the wilderness,
lead us not into temptation.
Thou who didst commend thy soul into the hand of thy Father,
deliver us from evil.
Thou who was crowned with thorns,
thine is the kingdom.
Thou who didst sink into the arms of death, and on the third day rise again,
thine is the power.
Thou who didst redeem us from sin, death, the devil, and hell,
thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We close by singing page 43, the Magnificat.
Thank you.
me and keep me. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen. Amen.